As Brother Spurlock and Sister Spurlock come, why don't we just lift up our hearts with our hands. Let's pray for the man and woman of God right now for the remaining of the service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Oh, do a work that we could never do on our own, Father. Do a work that we could never do on our own. Change lives, Jesus. Anoint the man of God. Hallelujah. Amen. As Brother Spurlock comes, I want to let you know tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., we have service. Please be with us. We'd love to have you there. 10 a.m., morning service. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Wonderful to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Amen. What a precious presence of the Holy Ghost we feel here tonight. And to know that the Lord is in this place. And He's here to do you good. The Lord's not in the business of just desiring to destroy. It's not His will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what the Bible says? He's long-suffering. Amen. I appreciate so much the opportunity to be a part of Winter Warm-Up this year and the invitation extended. Amen. To us. Appreciate your pastor. Give honor to your pastor, Brother Hurst, and the home church here, and Brother and Sister McKelvey and the wonderful work that they're doing. Amen. With the youth. And I just appreciate most of all that the Lord is here tonight. I know some people I don't. Many of you don't know us, so I just got the kids up here to introduce them. This is my beautiful, wonderful wife of almost 12 years. And this is our oldest, Layla, 7 years old. Wesley, 5 years old. And Whitman, 3 years old. They're a little bit nervous tonight. They've been working on a memory verse, and I kind of springing this on them. I asked them if they's ready, and they said, well, they haven't actually even done it at the home church yet. They said, let us just warm up at home, you know. And I said, well, I don't know. I feel like y'all need to do it tonight. So we'll say it with them, and we'll help them. My wife is feeling ill tonight, but I appreciate the Lord's help and strength in her being able to be here. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 16. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the
merciful,
for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men
that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Good job. Praise God.
Amen. Before we get into the Word of the Lord, I feel a song in my heart I'd like to try to sing here. I felt this song on my heart the last few days, and as the youth choir was singing there, it just kept rolling over and over in my heart. I just felt like singing it tonight. The Lord gave me the song about a year or so ago. I was sitting there, and I had just read 1 Kings chapter 18, where the fire had fell on Mount Carmel, and all the great things that happened. And then you see what happened in Elijah's life in 1 Kings 19. And the questions that he must have had and what he didn't understand of how, you know, the results that he wanted to see. And, you know, misunderstandings come and things we don't understand. And I just felt like tonight there may be people, you're needing answers. You're looking for just a reason of why this situation has come to pass. And the hurt and the ache and the scars are there of the situation that happened that you had no control over. And you're wondering why. And everybody probably has been guilty of asking that age-old question, why? To the Lord. Amen. And I know that, you know, we don't have all the answers, but I do know this. Amen. When it's all said and done, when you come out of it, the Lord is able to heal the scars. He's able to heal the hurt. And He wants to do that for somebody tonight in this place. Amen. You may be wounded. You may have been scarred by a relationship. You may have been scarred by sin. You may have scars of that have been inflicted upon your emotions, upon your mind, through how you were mishandled by people. But the Lord wants to heal that tonight. If you believe that, say amen. Worship the Lord with us as we sing tonight.
He wrestled through the night, hurt and feeling used, disappointed and confused. Lord, I'm all alone. Tell me, what have I done wrong? How can I carry on? He wasn't in the fire, even in the wind, the crowd around me shaking. That's when He speaks again. You're gonna be okay. I know right where you are. I cannot stop this hurting. Would you let me heal the scars? Wasn't in the fire, I couldn't find Him in the wind. And now the crowd around me shaking. Oh, I know He'll speak again. You're gonna be okay. See, I know right where you are. I cannot stop this hurting, but I won't heal the scars. Oh, he's running for his life. He wrestled through the night. His hurt is feeling used, disappointed and confused. Lord, I'm all alone. And tell me, what have I done wrong? How can I carry on? He wasn't in the fire. I couldn't find Him in the wind. shaking. That's when He speaks again.
Gonna be okay.
You see, I know right where you are. I cannot stop this hurting, but let me heal the scars. Oh, you thought that things would change. You even wished it all would go away. And words are not enough. Lord, I'm tired to be so tough. Can anybody see what's going on with me? Oh, when will I be free? When He isn't in the fire, and you can't find Him in the wind, and then the crowd around you shaking. Oh, I know He'll speak again. It's gonna be okay. You see, He knows right where you are. He may not stop this hurting. Oh, let Him heal the scars. He wasn't in the fire. I couldn't find Him in the wind. Now the crowd around me shaking. I know He'll speak again. Gonna be okay. Because I know right where you are. Stop this hurting. Let me heal the scars. Oh, you thought that things would change. You wished it all would go away. And words are not enough. And Lord, I'm trying to be so tough. Can anybody see what's going wrong with me? When will I be free? When He isn't in the fire, and you can't find Him in the wind, the crowd around you shaking, that's when He'll speak again. It's gonna be okay. You see, He knows right where you are. He may not stop this hurting, but let Him heal the scars. It's gonna be okay, because He knows right where you are. He may not stop the hurting, He wants to heal the scars.
Hallelujah. If you believe He can, won't you lift your hands and worship Him? Our God is a healer. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. I appreciate my family, my children. Amen. The Lord has been good to me. Amen. I'm a blessed man because of the goodness of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow thereto. Amen. Praise God. I'm a rich man because of His blessings. Amen. Praise God. I have a burden of the Word of the Lord tonight, and I don't feel adequate. I know I'm in no position to pinch hit for Brother Lester. I feel like I'm up to bunt tonight. Amen. With a heavy hitter like him. But I do appreciate the confidence in us and asking us to come and be a part. And the Lord has laid something on my heart, and my heart is heavy because of a burden of the Word of the Lord. I want to see somebody get help tonight. I believe in deliverance. I believe there's power in the name of Jesus to deliver, to set free, to break the chains. Amen. To help us to lay down things that we can't lay down on our own. To help us heal over things that we can't be healed over any other way. I believe there's power in the name of Jesus to do that. Amen. To bind up the brokenhearted and set the captive free. I believe that tonight. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 2, if you would. Amen. I don't want to I don't want to take a whole lot of time tonight, but I do feel the burden of the word of the Lord tonight. Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll read verse 17 and read a few verses down through here. Thank you for standing for the reverence of God's word. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 17. If you haven't, say amen. The Bible says, "Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way?" Let's go to verse 19. "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidst, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot." Verse 22, "For though thou wash thee with nitre, take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God." One more time, I want to call your attention to verse 17 before you're seated. "Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God?" Amen. I want to ask you one more time, if you'd stretch your hands toward heaven and ask God to help us here tonight. Lord, I thank you for this great people. I thank you, Lord, for the burden for this meeting, God, and for everybody that's gathered here tonight to make this possible. Lord, I know the burden of the word of the Lord that you've laid upon my heart. And God, I pray that your will would be accomplished in this place. God, you know the hearts and lives. You know who's weighing in the balance and found wanting. You know who's in the valley of decision tonight. I pray that your word would not go forth void, but that your anointing would destroy the yoke in this place, and deliverance would come to a wayward soul. We ask it in the most holy, precious name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Jeremiah said in verse 17, "Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God?" Trouble had come. Problems had come. Destruction had come. Terrible things. And Jeremiah was referring to this in this verse. And he looked at the people of Israel with the boldness of the Holy Ghost. And if we could just coin it and say it in modern day language and layman's terms, he looked at them, Brother McKelvey, and he said, "Didn't you do it to yourself?" He looked at them and said, "Have you not done it to yourself? When you forsook the Lord, when you walked away from the truth, when you began to slip away from His principles and His precepts, when you hardened your heart against God, did not you do it to yourself?" Amen. I want to preach a very simple thought. I haven't got a fancy sermon, but I do feel like I have a message tonight. The Lord's laid something on my heart. Amen. I want to ask you a question. What are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to yourself? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an epidemic of something called cutting among teenagers today. And what troubles me is even in Pentecostal churches, dealing with young people the last few years, I've found this to be true right in the church. Somebody who comes and sits on a church pew and worships the Almighty God, and then they go home and trouble happens and problem happens and conflict, and when anger comes or when hurt comes and ache comes, they'll go into the bedroom and shut the door and pull up their sleeve and cut themselves. Some of them will cut their legs where nobody can see, places in their body where they'll cut and mar themselves and watch the blood run and try to get some kind of a gratification, try to ease the pain somehow. No doubt there's a million voices screaming in their ear, Brother Evan Reed. Amen. That's how they can get relief. That's how they can let it go, is to cut themselves. Amen. And I want to look at that person today and say, why in the world would you mar the creation of God? We are the only thing on this earth that's created in the image of God. Why would somebody mar that? But I'll tell you what. Amen. It's a spirit of this age that would love to destroy your life. Everything everything that God has given you. Oh, there's a spirit that's driving teenagers and individuals to destroy themselves. And I just want to ask them, why would you do it? As Jeremiah, didn't you do this to yourself? What are you doing? Why would you destroy yourself in this manner? But I have the feeling tonight, help me, Holy Ghost, that there are people under the sound of my voice who would never do what I just described. There are teenagers under the sound of my voice. I'm just going to preach to you tonight. There are teenagers under the sound of my voice who would never get mad enough to slam your door and hide in your bedroom and pull out a razor blade and cut your... You would never do that. Amen. But you are doing something to your soul that nobody can see. When you get hardened in your heart, when there's things that rise up in your life that the Holy Ghost deals with you over, when you come into a service and the presence of God is here and the Lord is reaching and trying to draw you close, and there's just things in your life and things in your world that you just can't part with, and there's things in your life that are more important. You know what you're doing? You're destroying yourself. You're cutting your soul when you allow things to rise up in your heart. There's three things I felt like dealing with tonight. Three things that specifically came to me. Three categories, I guess I should say. Number one, resentment. I really believe there's people in this place. There's something in your heart against another. Maybe it's a young person. And it's a stepdad. That you can't agree with. Maybe it's a young lady and it's your grandma that you're living with. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Maybe it's a young person and it was that uncle that defiled you. And you're bitter over it. And you've never been able to let it go. And there's resentment in your heart. Every time you hear that person's name, there's a hate almost that rises up in your heart. And you've tried to let it go. And you've prayed about it. Oh, I have a burden for you tonight. But I want to ask you, what are you doing to yourself? The longer you hold on to that, the longer you partake in that, the longer you let that root, that little bitty root of bitterness grow in your heart, the Bible promises you that if you don't take care of it, it'll spring forth and it'll defile many. It'll destroy you. You got to get over it. You got to forgive and forget and try to pick up the pieces and give them to Jesus and let Him heal it. I said let Him heal it because He knows exactly how to do it. You got to get over it. If you're not careful, amen, you can resent that person to your deathbed, but all you're doing is cutting your soul. If we could pull back the curtain and the veil from your soul. Oh, what would it look like tonight? As it's been cut and cut and cut. How you've walked over and over and over. You've rehashed the situation. You went through every word that they said and you refused to let it go. Bitterness turns to hate. Every single time. Resentment. In your life, resenting that person. Maybe it was church problems. Maybe it was leadership. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a sermon preached that hurts you because it was not preached with compassion, but with criticism in a condemning way. You know that happens. There are people that's actually hurt through misunderstandings in the church. There are young people that are hurting and aching because of church problems, and they hear all about it at the dinner table. Amen. Amen. They wouldn't even know anything. Oh, help me, God. They wouldn't even know about the church problems if it wasn't hashed and rehashed and had for supper every night. And they are sensitive. They're maturing. They're growing. And they don't know how to deal with those emotions and those problems. Oh, Holy Ghost.
tonight. I have a burden for you. You've got to let it go, young person. I don't care who did what. I don't care who said what. I don't care. I do care, but you understand what I'm saying. You've got to let it go. There's no hurt. There's no ache. There's no pain that Jesus Christ cannot heal. There's no scar that He cannot heal. There's no problem that He cannot fix. There's no misunderstanding that He cannot rid out of your mind. There's no resentment that He cannot pull out of your heart. But you've got to want it. If you hold on to it, you're going to destroy yourself. And you don't have to. You don't have to. You can let it go tonight. You can get over it tonight. You see, it's those hidden things. I mean, we can sit here and we can preach on things all day long. But nobody can actually visibly see bitterness. Can't see it. It lies beneath the surface. It lies beneath the surface. Oh, a century ago, there was a massive ship that was brought down. 1,517 people died because of something that was hiding beneath the surface. When the Titanic struck that iceberg, how many knows 90% of an iceberg lies beneath the surface? It's those hidden things that will destroy you. And the Bible says when it springs forth, it's going to destroy many. It's going to hurt many people. If you don't let it go, it'll destroy your life. I may be preaching to an adult in this house. I don't know. I know I'm reaching for young people, but maybe you're a parent. And, you know, seems like teenagers, amen, forgive a little easier than adults do. Seems like teenagers are easier and more apt to forgive and forget. Amen. But as we get older, it's harder, amen, to let things go. It's harder to forget about what was said. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I just want to ask you one question. What are you doing to yourself? Why are you doing it? Let it go. You're going to have pain and heartache. And I'm going to just have to point you to this scripture where Jeremiah said, didn't you do it to yourself? The Lord tried to help you. Oh, Israel, the Lord sent prophet after prophet. The Lord sent messenger after messenger. One time and again, over and over, reaching for you. And you hardened your heart. And now you're in the situation you're in. Hast thou not procured it unto thyself? Haven't you done it to yourself? I wonder what's lying beneath the surface tonight. You realize bitterness can grow without us even knowing it's there. There can be resentment in your heart and you don't even realize it. But the Holy Ghost can put His finger on it tonight. And at that moment, you better deal with it, friend. You better bring it up to this altar and say, Lord, I don't want it in my heart. I don't want it in my life. I don't want those feelings. I don't want that resentment. I don't want it to grow into something. I want rid of it, God. Take it out and let me move on with my life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The second thing I want to deal with tonight, I feel like the Lord laid on my heart, is relationships. Relationships are so important. Young people, relationships are so important in your life, and especially in this time in your life. You're so easily influenced. You really are. And who you hang with and who you fellowship with and who, you know, you cling to, they will affect you. It's just evident. They are going to affect you. Hey, man. We can have compassion and we can reach to a dying world. Hey, man. But we can be the beacon in the night, shining to them. Amen. Without crossing the barrier and wallowing into the filth of sin and buddying with them. Amen.
We can't. It's possible, amen, to win people and pull them up, amen, letting the Lord bring them. But can I tell you, if your best friend, amen, is somebody who's hard against the truth, is somebody who's turned away from God, amen, they will have a negative effect upon you. Amen. They will every single time. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Every single time they will pull you down. Well, I'm just going to invite them to church. And well, you know, every time I do, they have negative things to say. And they always have a different means of entertainment to pull me to. And it seems like, but I'm trying to pull them up. They'll pull you down every time. You can't pull them up. They'll pull you down. Relationships that will destroy you if you don't let it go. What about a dating relationship? Amen. That seems to be something on every teenager's mind. You know, they asked me to answer some questions there on the PFYC website. They put up a question and answer forum, and about 80% of those questions is on dating. I mean, it seemed like all that's on teenagers' mind is dating. Dating. What do I do? What's the right way to go about it? And thank God for people who ask. Amen. And seek instruction. Amen. But something that's on teenagers' mind is dating. Can I tell you, you don't have to go to this world to find a spouse. Look at all these young people around here tonight. Look at all these young people who chose to be in the house of the Lord on a Friday night. Look at all these young men and these young ladies who are serving the Lord. Amen. Don't go out to the cheerleading squad to find a girlfriend. Don't go out to the football team to find a boyfriend. And think that it will not affect you in a negative way. Yes, it will. It will pull you down. I've felt in my soul that there's somebody in this place that God has dealt with you over a dating relationship and you have refuse to let it go. I just have one question to ask you. What are you doing to yourself? You're destroying yourself. If you refuse to let God help you, if you refuse to sever that tie, if you refuse to walk away, you will destroy yourself. Why are you doing it? You don't have to. You don't have to go down that road. You don't have to have a bunch of baggage and a broken heart and broken dreams and a broken marriage to pick up the pieces. Hello? I believe in restoration. I believe in it. Amen. But don't ever go there. You know what I preach to this generation? One shot is all you got when it comes to a spouse. Amen. Preventative preaching. Hello? Amen. Young people. Amen. Don't rush into something thinking, well, if this don't work out, amen, we can just go down to the court and get it fixed and I can go find another one. No! Jesus said one man and one woman for life. He didn't say one man and one man. He didn't say one woman and one woman. He didn't say one man and two women. But God's perfect will is to lead you to the relationship that will be good for you. And don't settle for second best. Don't settle for anything less. Hallelujah! Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord direct your steps. Hold on to His Word. Don't get impatient. Don't rush into it. And do not let your fleshly emotions get involved. If you let your emotions get involved, you sure won't be thinking straight. And you'll have a bunch of regrets. Hallelujah. I must address this before I move forward. Speaking on that subject, and I know it gets uneasy when we deal with things like this, but I feel like I must deal with this. Statistics say that there are 2 out of 3 teenagers that have already been exposed to online pornography. 2 out of 3. Statistics say that there's just as many girls addicted to online pornography as there is young men. There are individuals who are in love with a fantasy world. And you're having an affair with a fantasy. And you're in love with something that don't exist. And I'm careful not to disgrace this holy pulpit. But there are issues we must deal with in this day and hour. Because our young people are facing it every single day. Going to the school halls, just driving down the road with the billboards. Amen. With the click of a mouse, it's right there. With the push of a button on a smartphone, it's right there. How quick and how easy. Amen. That the system has been worked into hearts and lives. And young men and young ladies are scarred. And their minds are scarred. And their emotions are scarred because of pornography. Can I say, what are you doing to yourself? You're destroying yourself. You're corrupting your mind. Getting involved with pornography is like getting a blood transfusion from hell. You're destroying yourself. You're corrupting yourself. Let it go. Let God deliver you. Let God heal your soul of it. I say He can heal the scars if you let Him. You may have already been involved. Let Him heal the scars. I said let Him heal the scars. But preacher, you don't understand. I said let Him heal the scars. I believe in the liberating power of Jesus Christ. I believe that there's divine healing in the name of Jesus. And that's not just for our body, but that's for your mind. That's for your memory. That's for your emotions. Let Him heal you tonight. Oh, God. Let Him heal you tonight. Let go of it. Get accountable to somebody. Come to somebody you have confidence in who's more spiritual than you. Your youth pastor, your pastor. And tell them the very first step to healing is confession. Can I preach confession here for a few moments? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession's good for the soul. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. You want to be healed tonight? You've got to own up. You've got to man up. You don't have to stand up and proclaim it to the church. No, that's not what I'm saying. You don't have to get up and go through the whole rigmarole and tell everything that you've ever done. But find somebody to be accountable to. I'm not just preaching to leave you out on a limb. I'm trying to tell you how to get out of it. I'm not just preaching that you're in a pit, but I'm throwing you a lifeline tonight. You can get out of it. I said you can get out of it. Go to somebody that's spiritual and has confidence, you have confidence in, and say, I need help and I want out, and I'm never going back. I'm never going down that road again. I'm not going to preach much longer. Last thing I felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with is rebellion. What are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to yourself? When somebody tells you the truth and it cuts you, the Bible says it will cut. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. When that word cuts you, and instead of letting the Lord coming up to an altar and being broken and letting Him pour in the oil and the wine and heal you, you harden your heart. What makes you, when your mom says, go do this or go do that, or when your daddy says, no, you ain't going there. You're going to winter warm up on Friday night. You ain't going to that party. You're going to church. You're going to youth group. You ain't going to that dance. You ain't going to that party. You ain't getting involved. No, you ain't hanging with those friends. What makes you rise up? What is that? It's rebellion. What makes you grit your teeth and think, I can't wait till I'm 18? What makes you do that? I'll tell you what makes you do that. Rebellion. And the Bible says very plainly that rebellion is as the sin
of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You would never get a satanic Bible and read it. You would never play with a Ouija board. You would never go to a midnight seance. You would never join the Satanist club. But the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you are openly rebelling, when you are saying, I don't need to listen, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as if you were going to a midnight seance. It's the same thing as if you were dabbling in witchcraft. It's the same thing as if you were dabbling in witchcraft and Wicca and all any other kind of witchery or wizardry. And there's plenty of it nowadays. And there's a generation that's consumed with witches and vampires and wizards. Rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. What makes you do what you do? What makes you respond the way you respond? You need to take care of it, young man. What's made you get upset already at some of this preaching tonight? I'm only doing it because I love you. And I know you may not know me, and that probably makes you even more upset. Who does he think he is? I love you. I want to see you get help tonight. I want to see you get help at this altar tonight. We're getting ready to have an altar call. And I have prayed and I believe God for deliverance and for healing. But that's up to you, friend. Oh, yes, it is. I said, that's up to you how you respond. The Lord is reaching. How will you respond? Will you harden your heart? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it's an evil thing and bitter. Thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. How can a generation, how can young people do some of the things they do? There's no fear of God in their heart. There's no fear of God. How can they go on Monday and Tuesday to school and be a totally different person than they were Sunday night? How can they go to school and partake in things? How can they go down to the friend's house down the road and do things and get involved in things? How can they get in the back seat of a car with their girlfriend and go places they should have never been and then come and stand on a pulpit or come to a church service and worship God and act like everything's okay and act like everything's just fine? I'll tell you how. There's no fear of God. They've forsaken the fear of God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You read the first chapter in the book of Romans and you see a group of people who shook their fists in the face of God to such a place where God gave them up to vile affections, where God gave them over, where God waved goodbye to them. And the Bible says it started with no fear of God before their eyes. Have you lost your fear of God? This scripture came to me. Oh God, I don't want to preach hard tonight. And I'm sure not going to just leave you hanging over hell, because there's a Savior that's reaching for you tonight. I'm getting ready to give an altar call. If I could get some help on the music. My wife's not feeling very good tonight. If we could get some people to come and help us on the music and get a song together, I'd appreciate it. Saints of God, could we start pushing toward this altar? Could we start pleading the blood of Jesus in this place? Could we start pushing toward this altar, young folks? If your heart's right with God, start praying and asking God to set somebody free. I have a verse of scripture I need to read to somebody in this place. You're hardening your heart. You've done it time and time again. You came to winter warm-up last year. and the preacher preached down your row. And you're in worse condition this year than you were last year. You prayed through at youth camp, but you went right back to the same sin that you laid down, and you picked it right back up. I want to ask you, what are you doing to yourself? Why would you do it? Why would you destroy yourself? Why are you cutting yourself like you're doing? Why are you destroying your soul like you are? Jesus wants to help you tonight. You harden your heart, and you shake your fist in the face of God, and rebellion drives you to such a place. There will come a day where the Lord will say to you, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you and my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I believe that's what the Lord wants to do tonight. He wants to pour out His Spirit. He wants to make known His words. But verse 24 of Proverbs 1, He said, I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Ye have said it not, my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. Hear me. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What are you doing to yourself? Be careful the decision you make this night. The Lord is calling. The Lord is reaching. But how you respond will determine your future. How you respond will determine what you receive in this service. As they begin to play and the saints of God are praying, I want to make an old-fashioned altar call here tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the saints of God begin to pray for conviction. Oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you...
How about it, friend? This altar's open right now. The Lord's reaching for you. He wants to heal you. He wants to help you. He wants to do you good tonight. Would you come? You're hurting. Why hurt anymore? There's no need. Somebody already paid the price to heal you of the hurt, to heal you of the wounds that you're carrying. Don't carry them anymore. Oh, come on, saints of God. Let's plead. Let's ask the Lord to reach somebody tonight. How about it, friend? How about a young man? How about a young lady? How about it? Would you step out and break the ice and come forward and say, Lord, I need help in this altar tonight. I need a healing. Oh, I feel like tarrying here just a moment. You need to make a statement and say, I'm tired of the life I've been living. I'm tired of holding on to this. I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. I'm going to come and fall on the mercy of God. I'm going to come and let Him heal the hurt and the ache. That's it. Come on. How about it? Is there anybody else? Come on. Run to Jesus tonight. Run to Jesus tonight. Run to Jesus tonight. He's standing with open arms. I said He's standing with open arms. And He wants to heal you. He wants to take you underneath His wings and heal you and restore you. Let it go tonight in the name of Jesus. Come on, young folks. Come on, all the young people in this house, make your way to this altar. Come on. Come on, youth groups. Come on, young people. Come and fall in this altar and let the Lord bring a work of healing in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. I covered many things tonight. You know what the Lord dealt with you about. You may have come here and you may be all right with God, but there's a wound in your heart that you carried that somebody else inflicted upon you. You can let that go tonight in the name of Jesus. You're not backslid. You're okay with God, but you're hurting. You don't have to. I said you don't have to hurt anymore. Let Him heal you tonight. Let Him help you tonight. You're here and you just want a touch from the Master. You just want to hear from heaven. You just want to let the healing arms of Jesus wrap around you and tell you everything's going to be okay. Find yourself a place in this altar and let Him work a work like only He can do. Ah, He's the Son of Righteousness risen with healing in His wings. He's the Son of Righteousness that's risen with healing in His wings. He wants to heal you tonight. Let Him help you, young people. Come on, everybody that would. Find you a young person to pray with. Put your arms around them and ask the Lord to heal them. Ask the Lord to help them. Come on. Come on, saints of God. Let's find some young people to pray with. Let's pray with them. Let's help them. Yes.
You.
Oh, that's it. Seek the Lord while He may be found. He's calling for you. He's reaching for you. He wants to heal the scars. He wants to heal the hurt.
You can come as you are.
Come on, young folks. Let Him help you.
You can come as you are.
That's it. Come on.
All your broken pieces, all your shameful scars, the pain you hold in your heart, bring it all to Jesus. You can come as you are. He's not mad at you.
I'm giving it to you tonight.
He's not disappointed. His grace is greater still than all of your wrong choices. He is full of mercy. He is ever.
your kind. Here is invitation, His arms are open wide. You can come as you are, with all your broken pieces, all your shameful scars, the pain you hold in your heart. Bring it all to Jesus. You can come as you are. Come as you are, all your broken pieces, all your shameful scars, the pain you hold in your heart, bring it all to Jesus. Come as you are. Come as you are, all your broken pieces, all your shameful scars, may you hold in your heart, bring it all to Jesus. You can come as you are. As you are, all your broken pieces, all your shameful scars,